Bible today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Come celebrate Independence Day with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, June 30th. The celebration starts at 10 a.m.
Hail, hallelujah, I hear the voice of the Lord. Joy's gonna come in the morning.
The Redemption Trio will be in concert. There will be a special pulpit message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, then a barbecue lunch following the services. Celebrate America's independence at First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, June 30th, starting at 10 a.m. with the Redemption Trio.
There's a promise coming down that dusty road.
First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. First Conservative Baptist Church, expository preaching, changeless message for a changing world.
And there's a promise coming down that dusty road.
Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us today. If you'd like to dial in, 904-831-0917. As some have put it in the past, you'd like to put in your 2 cents worth. We'd be delighted to hear from you. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, a former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. We're asking questions in relationship to his opinion and thoughts in relationship to the great debate, the presidential debate this evening. And as we think on that subject, it comes to my mind, Congressman Hill. Again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on what I think is a very, very important issue. But let me ask you a question, Congressman. Do you believe that conservatives and Christians ought to be concerned about this? Should conservatives and Christians tune in and watch? What does this mean, this debate, what I'm speaking of, what this debate redound to as far as the conservatives and Christians are concerned in America? Should we be interested? Should we be concerned? What should be our posture? How should we respond as we watch the debate and the aftermath?
Yes, we definitely should be concerned about this debate and about the direction of our nation right now, Dr. Youngblood. And this is not hyperbole. I believe we're going to see on display good versus evil. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see the Biden side, which of course I consider the side of evil, which includes the CNN of moderators, are going to be doing their best to try and make President Trump look bad. And I'm not saying that President Trump is a saint, not at all. But I'm saying what we're seeing is a battle right now. And Christians do need to be informed, do need to know the results of the debate, what's happening, and how to respond to it. And I think the only response should be make sure you go out and vote. Make sure you can do what you can to encourage people at your church, your neighbors, your relatives, to also vote for President Trump in this coming election.
Absolutely. In fact, Congressman, I'm looking at Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I believe we have been, as a nation, in the state of mourning for almost 4 years now. And as I've said many times before, as people have challenged and chided me in relationship to my stand for Donald Trump, I believe that Christians need to recognize we're not voting for Jesus. We're voting for an individual, a human being with a spine, with a backbone that's wide enough, deep enough, broad enough, strong enough to stand up against the enemies that's trying to undermine, tear down, and destroy America. So I would include that statement and make that statement for conservatives, Christians, and patriots under the sound of my voice. As one writer put it, don't walk, don't crawl, but run to the polls and vote. If it rains, sleet, or snow, vote November the 5th. And let the vote be for Donald J. Trump. And I don't mind anybody knowing that's my position, and I challenge our listeners to do the same. And Congressman, before the news break, we touched on the basis of some of the gamblers, some of the bookies, as I call them. This headline says, you can bet on it. Gamblers jump bigly into the Trump-Biden debate. Subtitle, it says, for the election itself, there will be more money wagered on it than in this year's Super Bowl. The article is dated June 26. It says, the betting public already has delivered a verdict on Thursday night's debate between Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden. Trump will win the debate. Biden will commit more than 2.5 gaffes or mix-ups. Biden, of course, has a legacy of verbal stumbles, mistakes going back decades. He once told a paralyzed supporter to stand up so the crowd can see you. Further, this article reads, an international odds maker there said that there are some four dozen issues on which bets are being made. For example, the Panama headquarters of the odds makers Bet Online talked about the different things that would be they're taking bets on. And in the article, it further says, and here's the real kicker. For the election itself, there'll be more money wagered on it than this year's Super Bowl. So, Congressman, I don't know. Maybe it's just something I've not looked into in the past. I have sat through and watched dozens and dozens of debates of this type with different candidates and with presidential candidates, but I had not considered or thought about those bookies, as I call them, and the wagers. Why would people have such an interest, and how would there be a sense of, well, let's see. In fact, one of them said, how many times will Biden have a gaffe? How many times will the betting as on this basis? How many times will Trump use a curse word or a swear word? How many times will Trump get angry and get off target? How many times will Joe Biden freeze and not know what to say? And those I've never heard of, never seen, never would have dreamed that those would be things that the bookies will be betting on for this debate. What are your responses to that? Do you believe that there will be an intentional push to try to force Trump into anger, hostility, and verbal, words, verbalizing words that will cause others to turn against or be turned off? Because in some of the writings, some of the research, some of the promulgators of leading up to this debate say that it will be, some have said, that it would be impossible for Trump not to yell out, scream out, or to use profanity in his conversation. What are the, if I can put you in that position, what are the odds on that? Do you think that's the Trump we'll see, or do you think we'll see a professional, smooth-talking, honest, honorable Donald J. Trump speaking?
Well, I wouldn't bet on that, Dr. Youngblood. I work too hard for my money, so I wouldn't bet on that. But it's almost comical that the lovers of money will bet on almost anything. And, mm-hmm. and that they will come up with criteria to bet on this debate, I certainly wouldn't. First of all, I'm not a gambler. I don't bet on baseball teams or football teams. Any time where the physical outcome is outside of my control, I don't bet on it. I just don't. But there are people who do that. I call them lovers of money. And they'll do anything to try and make a quick buck, including gambling on this debate. But it will be interesting because, as you say, those things that they are, those criteria they're looking for, almost everyone is looking for those anyway. Everybody wants to know how many times is Biden going to just freeze, not have an answer. But the way he, in my mind, the way he is going to be juiced up, that he'll have an answer, and you'll see oftentimes he will appear to be angry and yelling because that's a result of having those drugs placed into his body.
Mm-hmm. You touched on something, Congressman, that brings up another question. Several have said, in fact, they've used the term physicians that are in the House and the Senate, mostly in the House, some that have background of being professional doctors, have used the term that they'll have him jacked up. Others have used the term that he'd be juiced up. Is there a way to avoid, why would Trump want to debate a person that's not the real person, that's juiced up, jacked up, and is zombified, to simply mimic what he has memorized or been told to memorize? That seems a little odd to me, that we all know that. We all know that potential. We all know that that's our field, that that's what took place when Joe Biden gave the State of the Union address. Do you think that he will be able to, if he's juiced up, jacked up, whatever the term may be, do you believe that he'll be able to stand for 90 minutes? Do you think that it's possible, knowing his cognitive recent history in particular, do you believe that Joe Biden will be able to endure 90 minutes of answering questions?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, as you and I bet on it, I'll wager $100. No, I'm teasing.
No.
What's telling is that when the Trump team demanded that a drug test be done today, before Biden goes into the debate, they refused. Mm-hmm. Why would you refuse that if you're not going to have any drugs placed into your body? And those doctors, those physicians who are in the know, recognize the symptoms when someone has been drugged with whatever it is to make them more alert, stronger. They recognized the symptoms of that, and they saw it during the State of the Union address, and they fully expect it to happen again, and I do too. But and that's why Biden will not submit to a drug test before the debate.
Well, I believe it even goes further than that. I can recall in the election in 2020, I believe, without any question, Joe Biden had an earpiece in, and I believe that he will this time. I believe that it will be a minusculely small, unidentifiable from the naked eye, an earpiece. I believe that they will be whispering in Joe Biden's ear the answer to the questions. That's where he stands. Or when a question is asked, he will stand and pause and wait because he's trying to listen to what he's being told to answer, and it makes it slower for him to do so. In fact, I'm looking at a headline, which Joe Biden will show up for the debate? With the nation's and perhaps the much of the world's attention fixated on Thursday night's presidential debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, one question that is doubtlessly looming large in the minds of many people, which Joe Biden would show up for the primetime debate? He goes on to say one version, by far the most common, is the dazed, wandering off, disoriented, shaking hands with the air, stumbling, mumbling, speech blurring, slurring Joe Biden, on which countless embarrassing videos populate the internet. Obvious mental and physical decline. But then there's another version of Joe Biden, the one seen and heard, to cite just one example, at his 2024 State of the Union address, angry, shouting, speaking so fast and so emotionally that sometimes runs his words together, making them difficult to be understood. So it's already in the marketplace that there's two different Joe Bidens. Which one will show up? And yet we have those, as I spoke of a moment ago, that are saying they're focusing on Donald Trump for the most part. How many curse words will he speak? How many minutes will it take for Joe Biden to not be able to stand any longer? Will Biden call Trump a Nazi, as he has done several times publicly? Will Trump get angry and shout? Congressman, your thoughts about the, just in general now, the fairness of this debate. Then we'll go further with our position and thoughts and questions. Is this debate, can this debate be considered fair at all, knowing the ground rules, knowing the background, knowing what they will probably have Joe jacked up, juiced up? Could this be considered fair? And with that question, a second component. Why did Donald Trump agree to the debate?
To answer the first question, Dr. Youngblood, no, this will not be a fair debate. The fact that CNN is hosting it lets you know right there that it will not be fair. And the moderators, there's Jake Trapper, who has a history of loathing Donald Trump. Dana Bash also. And her husband was one of the spies who signed off on the letter saying that Hunter Biden's laptop was fake. The ones who said agreed to Russian collusion. Mm-hmm. And lied about it. That's her husband. And so it's not going to be a fair debate. But I will go on to say, Dr. Youngblood, it wouldn't matter what news agency hosted it. If it was Fox News or MSNBC, it still wouldn't be fair. Because the media right now is so against President Trump because of what he stands for. He does not stand for the globalist position, the socialist Marxist agenda. He does not stand for that. And that they're all in on that. So it will not be a fair debate. So why on earth did President Trump agree to participate in what will not be a fair debate? And as I stated earlier in the program, Dr. Youngblood, is because I believe he can't lose by participating. We all know that they're going to be ganging up on him, and so he's going to appear to be the underdog. And so even as the underdog is struggling, people are still rooting for him. And then when he strikes back, they're going to cheer. And even if he does get angry and says some things that perhaps he shouldn't, people are going to cheer for that also. It's kind of like in all-star wrestling when the good guy is being beat up in the beginning and then he starts striking back and he wins and the crowd goes crazy. That's what I think we're going to see tonight. And it might happen early where President Trump will get some good jabs in the beginning, but they're going to gang up on him. And in the end, I think he's going to come on strong. No, it's not a fair debate. And President Trump is being very smart by participating in it.
Very well stated. Do you recall the 2016 election, the debate? Donna Brazile was then the chair of the DNC, and she gave Hillary Clinton advance copies of the proposed questions. Do you think that's possible to be taking place even now with Joe Biden? Is it possible that some, if not all, of the questions will have already been leaked to Joe Biden? And or an earpiece where his handlers can speak to him. Do you think either one of those are possible or probable in this debate?
Not only is it possible, Dr. Youngblood, I think it's likely that that is going to happen again. Joe Biden has been at Camp David for the past week preparing for this debate, when instead he should be running the country. But he's unable to do both. And so for the past week, he's been preparing. And, of course, I believe he's going to have most, if not all, the questions already. And they have been priming him on the answers, how to answer these questions, going over and over again, very repetitive, and hoping that when he gets there on the stage, that he'll be able to remember what he was told. And I agree with you, Dr. Youngblood. They're going to cheat and he'll probably have an earpiece in his ear, reminding him of the answers that they have been repeatedly going over this entire week.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, let's switch gears for a moment. What are the top four questions or the top four issues, whether they're asked or not, that Donald Trump needs to address? Let me couch it this way. If they ask a question that's designed to get him off track, should he try to chase that rabbit or just ignore the question and speak beyond the debate to the public that's watching? And if that is the case, and I believe it should be, that he should address to the people and not just addressing Biden and the moderators, what are the top four things that you believe Trump needs to say to the audience, to the we the people, the top four things that he needs to address tonight?
Number one, Dr. Youngblood, has to be inflation. President Trump has to mention the horrific state of inflation that we're in right now. And it's not 4%, 5% as the media tells us. I believe it's in double digits. And that's evidence of when we go to the grocery store or we try to go purchase gas, even though gas has been coming down recently because of how Biden emptied our strategic reserves.
Yes.
Inflation should be the number one issue that Trump should bring up. Next has to be the border and what the disruption that has caused our nation, costing us billions, tens of billions of dollars. And then closely associated with that would be the economy, the state of our economy right now, the jobs. The media will tell you that the Biden administration has created all of these jobs recently, but that's not true. The jobs that have been created have been part-time jobs. They've been filled by illegals and or they've been government jobs. It hasn't been in the private sector. So we have inflation. We have the illegal immigration. We have the economy. And then we have to speak internationally of the debacle that the Biden administration has caused in Israel, China, Russia, and Ukraine, and how Trump would have handled all of that differently. I believe those are the issues that Trump needs to respond to, regardless of when they ask him a stupid question as, how does it feel to be impeached twice and be a convicted felon?
Mm-hmm. I believe that is exactly the approach they'll take. They'll try to demonize them. By the way, I watched a video that was amusing online, about 5, 6, 7 minutes, and literally the person that was doing the interviews had gone to all of the battleground states just on the street asking happenstance bypassers the questions, and without a doubt, cross all ethnic lines, cross all what's viewed to seem to be economic lines. Everyone without question, who you going to vote for, who you think needs to be the president, all without question, without doubt, said Donald Trump. One made a statement, said, even if he be in jail, I'm going to vote for him. I find it fascinating that is the feeling across the nation. And so it's my prayer that will be the thing that Trump will do, is bypass the shenanigans to try to undermine his statement, and he'll speak directly to the public. Congressman Hill, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have Dr. Davis on the line. Dr. Davis, go ahead and read the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, Congressman Hill, how are you all today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Very good. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I appreciate you addressing this topic about the discussion for tonight. Of course, like putting a bridle on a horse, I'm sure that they won't let a whole lot happen with President Trump, because one of the other questions that, well, I'll say a couple that I would like to see President Trump ask him to see if he's going to give the right answer, and I'm sure he's going to sidetrack it in every way he can. But about his son, Hunter, I'm sure they're going to probably cut his mic off if he says anything about that. And then about why did he allow China to fly that spy satellite balloon across the United States before he shot it down? Of course, we talked about that one other time, that if I believe that happened on a Wednesday, but if he would have shot that balloon out the sky, he would have shot his paycheck out of the sky at the same time and not allowed that check to clear the bank before Friday. So those two things, I'm sure, if President Trump asks anything pertaining to that, his mic will certainly be cut off.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. In fact, I'm looking at Dr. Davis and to our congressman, looking at the headline, Glenn Beck offers advice to Trump ahead of the debate. He says, do not actually debate Biden. Do not debate Jake Tapper, but expose what he's done. It's a disadvantaging effect on America and the world. Donald Trump could come in a debate with Joe Biden. I wouldn't do it. I would not debate Joe Biden. I wouldn't debate Jake Tapper, he says. But Trump should simply point out that Biden is responsible for some of the worst decisions in presidential history. And he goes on to talk about how he should respond to it. And that's my opinion and my position also. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for your comments, for your insight. And I invite our listeners to tune in tonight. And in advance of that, Congressman Hill, let's wrap up with a couple of questions that I believe should be on the mind and the heart of the listeners today, and that I believe is the most pertinent thing. Listen, as the people tune in and follow the debate tonight, the question is, how should Christians respond? My position, and I'll let you elongate it, we've got about a minute before our time is out. I believe Christians should be watching, but praying, God, would you divinely intervene? Praying and saying, God, would you give us Trump back in office to protect America? What are the other things that you would add to that? We've got about 35 seconds, Congressman Hill. How would you respond? What should we do as Christians?
Well, you said the right word, Dr. Youngblood. We should pray. We should pray. And it brings me to Psalm 119:126. It says, it is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Mm. Lord, come work. We need your help and your assistance to get this nation back to where it needs to be so we can fulfill our destiny of preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world.
Well said. Final concluding words were well stated. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families a